Reformed Church.
Paul just says that I may know him, that I may know Jesus. So he's talking about the knowledge of Jesus. It says, and specifically about Jesus. What about Jesus was he getting to know? It's in the power of his resurrection. So the life of Jesus, and in particular we've been talking about, is that it says his resurrection, which is not talking about just merely someone being raised from the dead, but Jesus' resurrection, mind you, he had a glorified body when he was raised, and he was raised perfect in the complete image of heaven with all the perfection of the Father. So that's in particular the kind of resurrection he's talking about. So that he would get to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, so his life and everything that he received in his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, meaning joining him in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And that's not talking about physical sufferings. That's talking about, like, I've been crucified with Christ. So he's basically saying that now it's Jesus' life, his resurrection, that moves through us, and it's no longer us that's living, right? So it's not life from us. We've been crucified with him. We've been put to death through baptism, as Romans 6 says. And it's the power of his resurrection that we have inside of us and that can work through us. But anyway, he's getting to know, point being here, though, I just want to point out the power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That verse is so powerful and so important. And the thing that I've been pointing out recently has been the word if. The term really means if indeed I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I don't want to explain everything that I already explained, but the reason why he says if, as if there's a degree of uncertainty there, or that it's not a sure thing or an automatic thing, maybe better said, is because he's not talking about attaining to Jesus' perfection and his resurrection once Jesus comes back. And you know that because of the word if. Because when Jesus comes back, every Christian will all automatically get a glorified body and will automatically be perfected on the outside. The fact that he says if is because he's getting to know Jesus, if by that knowledge he might attain unto Jesus' perfection right now. That is what he's talking about. He's referring to that right now in this life, before Jesus comes back, Paul knew that it was possible to lay hold on the full perfection of Jesus. Now he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So you know when he's referring to attaining this resurrection, he's talking about perfection here. He's not talking about just merely someone being raised from the dead, which would be weird anyway for him to say because he was, of course, living and writing this at the time. So when he refers to resurrection, he says, not as though I had already attained what? This resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, either were already perfect. Now, the word perfect in Hebrews, I mentioned this recently also, the word perfect in Hebrew is a word for Jesus' glorified body in his glorified state in his resurrected form. I have a whole bunch of verses, actually I have a list of verses that if you want that afterwards, I can give you through Hebrews, so many verses where it talks about Jesus was made perfect through sufferings. That's talking about his glorified state. It talks about how the law made nothing perfect. But then it says, so the law, by our own works, we couldn't make ourselves perfect. But in Hebrews 10, I believe it says that Jesus has perfected forever those that are sanctified, meaning we have been made perfect on the inside is what that's talking about. And the point being here is he says, he's not saying that he had already attained or either were already perfect. So it's true, Paul and still has not attained on the outside in his flesh to all of Jesus' perfection in his glorified state. But the point here is that he knew that he was able to do that. Most Christians will say that something to the effect of, you know, we'll never be perfect until we get to heaven, which is, that's really a wrong thing on several levels anyway, because you don't get a glorified body when you get to heaven anyway. Your body is in a grave. If someone dies and goes to heaven, their body's in a grave and they don't have a glorified body. It's when Jesus comes back that you're going to be perfected on the outside. I'm talking about every single believer. But whether you say, oh, no one will be perfect until we get to heaven, or no one will be perfect until Jesus comes back, either way, that is the going sort of theory by the church. And while it is true, even at the end of this chapter, he says that Jesus will change our vile bodies into the image, into his own image, when Jesus comes back. And so it is a truth that when Jesus comes back, that is sort of like the deadline. Every single Christian will be made perfect on that day. But the important thing is you don't have to wait for that day to actually walk in perfection in your life. Now, again, it doesn't mean the world is going to be perfect, but we can attain on the outside this perfection. And that's why Paul was saying in verse 11, if by any means, or rather, if indeed, he was getting to know Jesus, if by that knowledge he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And what does he mean by attain to the resurrection of the dead? Attain perfection. That's why the following verse says, not as though he had already attained, either were already perfect. So the subject matter here is him attaining perfection on the outside. Now, this is not talking about, of course, us sort of working at being perfect. This is talking about being conformed to the image of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And as we get to know Jesus, we are being conformed into his image. The Bible says, right, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that it's through beholding Jesus that we are transformed into that same image, referring to Jesus. But the problem is that we know that verse, and people will even talk about on the outward God conforming them to the image of his Son. That's not unique to what we're talking about right now. Lots of people believe that. But people don't understand what they're saying. Because when you say that God wants to conform you to the image of Jesus, it begs the question, who is Jesus? What is Jesus? What does he have? How is he living right now? And we don't think about that. We say God wants to conform us to the image of Jesus, but we're usually only talking about his morality. And even that, we'll at the same time say, well, you know, nobody's perfect, meaning on the outside, and, you know, until Jesus comes back or we get to heaven or something like that, we're not really going to see that in full. Well, then God really isn't conforming you to the image of Jesus. Maybe he's conforming you to half the image of Jesus. Maybe he's conforming you to a quarter of the image of Jesus. But if you say that he's conforming you to the image of Jesus, you would assume that means that you can be conformed to the image of Jesus. But we'll simultaneously say that that's impossible. And I want to tell you, this is such an important point. It is not impossible for you to walk in a full glorified state in the flesh on this earth. That is not impossible. This does not discount the fact that Jesus is coming back to change every Christian's body to be conformed into the image of his glory. It doesn't discount that. We still have that hope. And it's important to know that, because even if you have Christian brothers and sisters that, you know, are dragging their feet over the truth right now, it's important to know, you know what? Sooner or later, we will all be dwelling together on the new earth. All this will be behind us. It is important to have that hope and that knowledge that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be the deadline. Everybody is going to get a glorified body. That is a truth. Jesus is coming back in Hebrews. It says for salvation. And that's referring to that salvation manifesting to believers' bodies. Jesus is going to come back and will do that. But while what we're talking about today doesn't discount that fact also doesn't discount that through knowledge, because if you understood, I taught this in the Revealing series, if you understood that even when Jesus comes back, it's only going to be because he downloads us with full knowledge of himself that we're going to get a glorified body at that time. So really, this is not the type of message I would start out teaching somebody. This is really a type of message I would teach to people who have already been with us for however many years and learning what we've been learning. Nevertheless, you can, and Paul knew, you can walk in Jesus' perfection now. And by attain, it doesn't mean like you have to strive for it and work for it. No, this is talking about through mere knowledge. It doesn't mean you have to know every single thing in full. It just means you have to know one person in full, Jesus. And there's more I could say about that, some interesting points I could make on that. But I want to stay on track here that he is saying that if indeed he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead in verse 11. That means that he had the belief that he could attain to Jesus' resurrection. And again, it just makes sense out of a whole bunch of verses from Romans 8, saying that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and also, again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, what I just mentioned, that it said that we'd be transformed into the same image. And again, like I said, what is Jesus' image? It says the glory of the Lord. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. That means the glorified Jesus, and that you would be transformed into the same image of what? The glorified Jesus. And again, we talk about being conformed to the image of Jesus, but we do not think about what the image of Jesus is when we're saying that. And a lot of people will just talk about morality, and they'll say, well, we're never going to be perfect, though. Well, then you're not being conformed to the image of Jesus, then, because he's perfect. You see what I'm saying, though? You can't say both at the same time. You cannot maintain that you're actually being conforming into the same image and then yet say no one's going to walk perfectly on this earth until we get to heaven or something. That's incorrect. You're not being conformed to the image of Jesus. If there is no hope or expectancy that you will ever attain until he comes back or, quote unquote, you go to heaven, like which like I said before is wrong on many levels, but even let's just talk about Jesus' return. If you say that no one will be made perfect on the outside until Jesus returned, then you are not being conformed to his image. Because why would God give you a hope of being conformed into the same image and then yet say, well, you'll never actually attain it? Well, then you're not being conformed to his image. You're being conformed to a fraction of his image. You're being conformed into the certain moral aspects of Jesus and not necessarily his glorified state, which it does say when it says you're transformed into the same image. It says the glory of the Lord, meaning he's been glorified. He has a glorified body, right? Jesus has a body, and it has been glorified and perfected. It feels no pain. It feels no sickness. It feels no emotional grief whatsoever. He walks in perfection. Nothing by any means hurts him. Even if something were to try to come against him, it cannot hurt him. He is impenetrable. He is invincible. That is perfection. Walking in perfection. His emotions, he walks in perfect happiness. In fact, the Bible describes his position at the right hand of the Father as pleasures forevermore. In fact, it says fullness of joy, and at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. Fullness, meaning he can't get more happy. He can't get more happy. He cannot be in more pleasure than right now. That's perfection. Perfection in his emotions. He has perfection in his wisdom. He knows everything. There's nothing that you could do or will ever do for all eternity that he doesn't already know right now, today. Perfect knowledge of all things past for all eternity and all things eternally forward and all things that are going now, going on now, and all the secrets of men, even the things that people think in their own rooms, locked up by themselves, he knows all those things. This is Jesus' perfection. Now, no one would dispute that all those things are true of Jesus. And then, so knowing that no one would dispute that any of that is not true of Jesus, no one would dispute that. Everyone believes these things are true of Jesus. And then simultaneously, we'll say, well, we're transformed into the same image, you know. But we don't believe same image. That's the problem. We don't believe same image. And that's why verses like this, we end up just reinterpreting them. We end up reinterpreting verses like this. Well, he's not really talking about that he could attain these things in this life. He's just sort of talking about, like almost like in the United States, there's a term in our founding documents, I forget where it talks about being made a more perfect union. And that's kind of what he's talking about. Like, we're just moving always in that direction toward perfection. But until we get to heaven or something like that, something off in the future, like there's a limit almost to what we can receive in this life. No, he's not talking about being more perfect here. That's not what he's talking about. He says that he might attain Jesus' resurrection of the dead, which is referring to perfection. And he says, not as though I had already attained, but he, in other words, he hadn't already done it. But he said, if by that knowledge, he might attain, meaning it is possible to attain. And I'm going to take the word even possible a little further. It's not just possible. It is your inheritance. The only reason why I say it's possible is because it's not sure to every single person just automatically. You need to get to know the power of his resurrection. And unfortunately, we don't get to know the power of his resurrection. And furthermore, if you were to read all the way through this chapter, I don't have enough time to really go into depth with this, but I'll show you the verse at the very least. What do you have to know in order to attain Jesus' resurrection and his perfection? What do you have to know? Well, he already said that I might know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, meaning knowing that you've died, it's not your life anymore, but it's the power of his resurrection on the inside of you, right? So it's knowing that you traded your life for his, right? Your corrupting life with, you know, his eternal life that is on the inside of you right now, as 1 John teaches very clearly, that the eternal life is inside of us, saying that there's no eternal life in any murderer, he says, meaning that eternal life is on the inside of us. But let's look at real quick, what knowledge do you need to attain on the outside and walk in Jesus' perfection, glorified state? Yes, and just to clarify, I am referring to a glorified body fully in Jesus' resurrected form. That's what I am referring to that. He says, if you look just further down, the particular kind of knowledge that you need to be, that you need to acknowledge in order to receive this on the outside is verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now you need to read this in the King James Version, because despite the fact that this word perfect is the word teleos, and the word perfect in verse 12 is the related word teleo, despite that, Look at verse 12 again, just to show you where the church's mind is at right now. Both those words, perfect, in verse 12 and what was it, 15, are related words. They should be translated perfect. But, perfect or perfected. But we translate in most translations in verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. No one has any problem with saying that I haven't been made perfect yet. But then when you come back down to verse 15, it says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Many translations translate that mature. And it tells you where our mind is at. Because, nobody's actually perfect right now, though. And he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now, he says, be thus minded. We need to be mindful of how we already have been perfected. And just in closing, I'll say that, well, what is Paul talking about then? He says that I haven't attained, I haven't already been made perfect. And then he said, as many as be perfect, we need to be mindful of this. Are you perfect or aren't you? It is both. Because we have been made perfect in our spirit. Hebrews 12, 23 says it's our spirit that's been perfected. You have Jesus' perfection already on the inside of you. Ephesians 1 says you already have his resurrection on the inside of you. This is the inheritance in the saints. But it hasn't manifested all on the outside. So that's why when he says that he hasn't already attained to this perfection and resurrection, he's only talking about on the outside, his flesh. But what is the knowledge that calls you to walk in perfection on the outside? It is the knowledge that you already have been made perfect on the inside. It literally says that your mindfulness cannot be on the things you have yet to attain on the outward man. It says the things you need to be mindful of is the perfection that you've already been created in. That's what you need to be mindful of. And in fact, he says, if anything ye be otherwise minded, meaning if you're of some other mindfulness, if you don't agree with this, that you're already perfect, God will even reveal this unto you. And there's a lot of Christians that don't agree that they're perfect. And that's why he knew that. And he says, just so you know, if you don't think you're perfect, God will reveal this to you. Of course, if you'll listen, verse 16, and what else? Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. He said, not that I had already attained, either were already made perfect. And then here he says that we have been made perfect, and we should be mindful of that, and we have already attained. Whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, meaning walk by this principle. Walk by this principle of the fact that I have already attained. You know, walk this way in your life. Start walking in your life as if you have already attained everything. And mind the same thing. The mindfulness that is going to recreate your flesh on the outside is a mindfulness of the perfection you've already received on the inside. That is how the kingdom of God works. You are mindful of it first, and as Philemon 1:6 says, it is through the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus that they are made effectual. So it's not any surprise that Paul says that he was getting to know Jesus in order to attain unto this perfection and resurrection of the dead, and then clarifies and says, what you need to be mindful of to walk in these things, it'd be mindful of the perfection. You want perfection, effectual on the outside, you need to be mindful of how you, as many of us as are already perfect, because not everybody is, but Christians are. As many of us as are already perfect, you need to be mindful of this, and whereto you have already attained, you need to walk by this principle, you need to mind the same thing. If you don't agree with this, God can reveal this to you, if you'll listen to him, because it is a truth. Like, Paul is not giving any leeway here and saying, well, it's just my opinion. No. You are perfect as a Christian, but if you're of some other mindfulness, God can reveal this to you. And so, I'm going to have to wrap up there. I had a lot more I wanted to get to, but it is so important to understand that perfection is not something that is out of reach, and it's not something that's hard either. When most people talk about perfection, they talk about it as something that we're striving for, we'll never get to because it's so hard. If it was about your work, you could not ever become perfect. Now, I'm not talking about morally. I'm talking about bodily. I'm talking about in your appearance. The Lord said, I really don't mind if someone takes this the wrong way. The Lord, for many weeks, it was last summer, began telling me plastic surgery. And, of course, plastic surgery, to my knowledge, is more of just an aesthetic kind of surgery, right? And he kept telling me that. And then he would bring me to things like this. And actually, 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says the same image, meaning you will even look the same as him. And there are even bodily imperfections that you have that aren't sickness, that aren't weakness, and it's just a bodily imperfection that just doesn't look correct. And God makes everything beautiful. Of course, that would only be because of a fallen state, because of Adam's sin and death. And if you're being conformed to the image of Jesus, God will actually change your body into a glorified state to be as beautiful as Jesus' glorified body is as well. There is nothing that you do not have hope for. Even bodily imperfections that you just look in the mirror, people get depressed. not because they're sick or because they're dying of some kind of illness. People get depressed over just mere imperfections in their body. Things that they know just don't look beautiful. Jesus is the most beautiful person aesthetically that you'll ever see in your life because he's the full glory and image of the Father. And God wants to transform you into the same image. And people might say you're taking that too far, but same image means same image. It's actually, we're not taking it far enough when we say same image and then we don't actually mean all the things of Jesus' characteristics. That's actually forfeiting the truth. That's what that is. You say same image and you don't mean same image. You say same image and say, well, we'll never actually attain. Well, then you're not being conformed to Jesus' same image then. If you're being conformed to his same image and transformed to that image, find out what his image is and take it seriously. God's words are more powerful than we give it credit for many times. And we just need to see the word of God and take it for what he says and not for a reinterpretation of our experience. This is an important thing. I'm stopping right now with this particular quote. You need to interpret your experience by the word of God and not interpret the word of God by your experience. And it's only because we interpret the word of God by our experience that we say no one will ever be made perfect because you've never seen someone made perfect. But guess what? We have seen Jesus made perfect. And that's the only person I need to have seen being made perfect for me to know that I can also follow in those footsteps because he's my forerunner. And maybe we'll get to that a different time.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.